Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, just bask in his glory. Just let him know you love him and so appreciate him and how he appreciates us and loves us. Well, God is so good. So loving and so caring, amen. Just allow him to touch your heart. Allow him to be with you. Don't push him away. Don't think like, oh, I'm a scoundrel. You don't want anything to do with me. You're the very one he wants to be with. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come again, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Guide us and lead us with it. Thank you, Lord, for the work you have for each and every one of us to do and to complete. And we already know that we can't do it within ourselves. It's got to be with you. That you will give us the strength, the perseverance, the patience. Whatever it is, Lord, that you will give it to us to serve you. And we do it willingly with a desire to bring honor and glory to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So a new year, what does that mean to you? What is this new year all about? Well, just wait another 300 and, I don't know, 58 days, 56 days, I don't know. We'll have another one to try it again, okay? But we got, I kind of look at it sometimes as, I don't know, like a clean slate. There's a lot of things newness in the world, and but yet everything's still the same. You know, we wake up from 2022 into 2023, and you look around in the things of the natural, and it all seems to be the same. It's the same old, right? But I take it as I look at this as a new year going into it, as what does God have planned for his kingdom? What does God have planned for me? You ever start the new year asking God, like, what do you have planned for me? What am I to be? What am I to do? What didn't I achieve last year in 22 that maybe I can do better this year in 23? Lord, are you giving me a do-over? You know? And I think with his love and his grace and his mercy and his desire to see you succeed and to fulfill the destiny that he has for you on your life, he's saying, I'm going to give you another opportunity, Tim. You can put your name in there as well, because he's no respecter of persons. So don't beat yourself up. Don't allow the enemy to sit there and say, you didn't do it last year. I doubt if you're going to do it this year. You didn't accomplish it, whatever. That I doubt if you're going to do it this year. No, this could be that year. This could be that time, amen, that it finally sinks in with you in God. And that we get out of the, oh, like I did last week, the old poor me. But I saw a freshness. I faced my human side. And I admit it, it was a pity party. And you just happened to be here to hear me cry out, amen. You were my therapy session. Why is that? Because see, it could expose the vulnerability. Because as leadership and pastoring, we're supposed to be at the top of our game. We're to be there. We're to experience all the things of God. We're to be charged with him day in and day out and know this and know that. And I'm come up here on Sundays and I'm to cheer you on. I'm to encourage you on. But I, too, am you. I am flesh. I have things that I should have done better, could have done better. I have still things to do. How about you? And I don't think there's anything wrong with looking in the mirror and having that pity. But don't let it hold you down. Don't let a failure of this past year hold you down to that failure that's back then, because God says, I'm not remembering it. I'm not holding it to you. If it was that of a sin, ask for forgiveness, repent, move on. And so we've got to do that. God has done his part, and he's looking for Tim, are you, to do your part. God has already said, I've already got it all completed anyway. You just need to walk into the direction, and I've got it all programmed that way for you, whatever the case might be, for all of our churches, for this very church, for all of you, for pastors, for ministries, for things around this world. It's all set there, and it's moving, and it's going. We just got to keep going, amen? And we can't hold back. So just like every previous year, when we come to the end of one, we always are given a new year. We get to walk into a new year. The only thing about it is when I woke up January 1st at whatever time, it was I couldn't tell you if it was January 1st or December 31st. You know, when the clock hit 12:01 or 12.1 second, I didn't really hear anything phenomenal. Oh, maybe some fireworks, you know. Do you look forward to a new year? Some people don't. You know why? Because they've already anticipated that the new year is going to be the bad year. Oh, well, it's just going to be the same old, same old. What's so happy about that? They don't embrace it. They don't expect good things out of a new year. That's almost like you're not expecting anything good and new out of God. How whatever that is. To think that God, the Creator, that puts you here, that puts all of this in perfect order, hanging at us in space at the perfect degree and angle and distance from the sun and all of these things, that he doesn't have this next year figured out and it's going to be a good year if you just do what you're to do? Do what you're to do, because God has done what he's going to do. Do you cringe thinking like, well, where did this past year go? We all think of that. Wow, how time flies. I'm already looking at, what are we, 7 or 8 days into this new year already? 8 days, is it? 8. Wow. I myself, just like you, we think back, I didn't complete the things that I wanted to this past year. Now I got to go into this new year. How's that going to affect? I'm going to add more onto it? I don't know. But don't go into the new year with fear. Go into the new year with anticipation and expectation of what God has already got ready for you to do. Amen? As we're studying in today, we just started Jonah. Don't be Jonah unless you want to find yourself in a belly of a great fish. You cannot run and hide from God. That was probably, maybe as I think about it, it's a good Bible book to begin the new year with, and we're going to kind of go through it little by little, so we might be in Jonah for a couple of months. I don't know. But what a good book to read, to think about. You can't run from God. God's got a plan and something for you to do this year. You may distance yourself from it, but I'm going to tell you, if it's really something that God has specific for you to do, he will bring you back to it somehow in some way. You may be miserable until you get back to that thought like, I better get this completed. And being miserable is not God's fault. Being miserable is your fault. Because you decide you don't want to do it. So I guess it just comes down to our perspective. You know, a glass half full, half empty. What kind of person are you? A new year ahead, I can't wait to see what's exciting in it and what's going to be accomplished, or a new year ahead, more failures for me. The God of this world wants you to say that you're a failure. The God of this world wants to say you've not accomplished anything in the last 5 years. What do you think this year is going to make anything different? But that's lies, right? That's the enemy lying to you, because he knows what buttons to push. Well, we got to come past that, and we got to anticipate and expect the greater things of God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Oh, Father, hallelujah. I hope for most of us, we all look at it's another year with God. There's more opportunities to us to have serving him. Isn't that exciting? Can't wait to serve you, God. Here we are in a new year. What do you have for us to do? Me, us, the church, whatever it is. I hope for the most part that we look at it as another year with God, more opportunities to help and serve Him, that He will do a new work in our lives with a wonderful outcome. See, with God, you will succeed. With God, you will fulfill. With God, you will overcome. With God, you will be successful. Don't look at the success in that of man's eyes. Man in the world has a different perspective of success than what God has in the kingdom of God. Amen? The two don't even mirror one another. But there's much more success with that of God. You may look at where you're at and think like, how am I going to succeed? How am I going to complete? How am I going to fulfill? Many of us in this day and age, and looking here, there's many of us, some have already, some are soon to step into those areas of retirement and trying to figure out, did I save enough? Probably not. Oh, you could have a wonderful nest egg, but I'm going to tell you, if something physically happens to you and you go to a care facility that costs, I don't know, minimally at $8,000 a month, you want some care, it's going to probably be $14,000 a month. You could have umpteen hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that'll be gone in. And it's not to say it's good to have those finances and things. I'm not saying that. But the point of what I am saying is, no matter what you've got, if you don't have God, you don't have nothing. If you don't have the hope and the trust and the faith in God, your 401k, your retirement, your investments, the interesting thing about those things, they can all be done away with overnight with the swipe of something federally through that of our government. Now, it might create a lot of problems out here in the land. We might have a revolution. But we've got to keep that thought that nothing in this life is guaranteed. If my savings has me, then I don't have God. I'm looking at those as what I've accomplished, what I've put together. God will use those. God will bless those things. But I encourage you to always put God first. First in your family, first in your job, first in your finance, your relations. Even in your church, put God first. When you come out to Harvester's Church, don't put this church first, or the ministry first, or me first, or anything like that. Put God first in everything that you do and think and are a part of. For He is the sustainer. He is the one that will be here till the very end. Amen? And He will take you through it, over it, around it, and He will provide for it. Too many things in the Word of God that, and I'm not even going there with this stuff, but how God will preserve you and protect you and take care of you. We live in this world and it doesn't stay pure. Your life will not stay pure unless you put, you know, tenacity to it. And we're all fallen and we all sin and we're all imperfect, but yet God loves us and forgives us. And there's perfection and there's the purity of us will be only when we go to heaven, or when the return of Christ, if we're still here when the second coming comes. But while we're in this world, you can put stuff out there and you can see it decay. Vermits get into it. It's like, what is going on? But, you know, we support and trust God. And, you know, when you begin to look at little things in life and see as much as pure as they are and what you start out as really good throughout times and seasons, that it decomposes, it changes, it doesn't stay prime and pristine, you know. But we got a new year with us, and we want to make it all that we can. What, a few weeks back, it was hitting. Now, this is Revelation. We are very understanding of this when it speaks of this in Revelation 21:5. And then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, we know here in Revelations, he's speaking of a new Jerusalem, a new world, the return of Christ. But that kind of gives you a thought of an understanding of what God can do when he says new. It's not the same. It's not what it was. It's new. We find, it's like, well, okay, the Bible begins with the great story of creation, and it concludes with his creation of a new heaven and a new earth. We find hope and encouragement from scriptures. We find, and that's why it's so good to dig into his word. My people, you will not sustain your life throughout the week if you don't get into his word daily, or at least semi-daily or something. But if all you hear of God's word is Sunday morning from 10:30 to 12, maybe 11:10 to 12, you're not getting enough of his word to sustain you for maybe an hour, and that's about it. Because as soon as you leave here, go down, probably by the time you hit County D, you done forgot about what the word of God was that you just left. Because how fast the world comes in on us. And how fast our mind switches from church. It's still Sunday, but now I'm already thinking about Wednesday. I'm already thinking about Tuesday. This my job, or I got to get this turned in, or I got to do this on Thursday. You're already out there. Please, 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 for this year to be a new year, for you to grow and develop in what God has already planned for you to do, it's going to take you looking into his word daily or every couple of days and meditating on a few things and opening it up. Maybe we need to have some time to get together to get a Bible with a concordance and find out how this works. Or get a Bible that's got little notes on the sides, and when you read a scripture and it's got like 5A, look in that middle column where it says 5A, and it'll give you a cross-reference where that similar or same thing was used 5 books back or 6 books ahead, whatever the case is, like a chain reference. There's so many study guides and aids and helps in his word to get you from one to the next, to see how this word, how this thought is throughout the Bible. And don't just read that scripture and go, "I wonder what that means." Your Bible has, 5A. Go see Psalms 107:3. Go see, Isaiah 43:2. Ba, 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 ba. Get in. Study his word. You study his word, I'm going to guarantee. Remember that guy out of Louisiana? I used to watch him on PBS. Huh? The Cajun Chef. Yeah, that old guy is... white hair, big belly. I guarantee, hot pepper. He's like spice. Tabasco. I guarantee that if you get into God's word, study it, cross-reference it, dig through it, 2023 will be a year for you. 2021 could have been. 2022 could have been if you'd done that. But now this year, do that. Do that. Find the richness in God's word. It's not just a lesson of stories and just this is nice and that sounds great and that's wonderful back then. The very word of God is for you today to make your new year different, to make your life changed. It's one thing to come to him as Lord and Savior to say, "Forgive me of my sins." That's good. You're going to heaven. That's good. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going through this life in this day and age and you feel like this life is just dumping on me and where is this and why is this happening and what's going on here and why can't I get ahead, and you know why you're not getting ahead? This is not your map. You're not allowing God's word to tell you to be prepared for that. You're not understanding and hearing God's word. Hear it. Yes, hear it. I'm reading it. No, you're hearing it if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're hearing it in your spirit. I'm hearing God's word when I'm reading it. I'm hearing it resonate in my spirit as like somebody's talking to me. And God's specifically telling me, "This is why, Tim." Or, "This is what you need to do, Tim." Or, "This is what I am doing now, Tim." If you're not doing that, The old adage is, if you're expecting change but you don't change, that's being very detrimental because you're not going to change. It'll remain the same. But God is a God that's into change. He doesn't change. He's changing you through His Word, through His lessons, through His Holy Spirit, so that you can have a good 2023. Starting out this year, raise your hand if you want to have a terrible 2023. Well, I'm glad I didn't see any hands. I'm even in His Word, and I have rough times. But I get through them because I'm in His Word, and I find strength and encouragement and directions and hope and help and steadfastness. And even in some very basics understanding, you don't have to be a theologian. I'm not saying you got to be a theologian to succeed. You just need to be a person, a man, a woman that wants to hear of God and read what He has done in the Old Testament, read what He's done in the New Testament. And that same thing is for you today. When I'm having a struggle, what comes to my mind? God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. When I'm going through a pressure time and I'm carrying this, what am I going to do now? It says in there, cast thy cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Yes, yes, yes. I can only memorize just a few scriptures. I'm not a memory guy. But I know those that speak to me, that He has a plan and a purpose for me. Not to fail, but to succeed. When you're feeling down on yourself, know that He's got a plan and a purpose for you to succeed in this life, not in heaven, but in this life. Don't go by what people have told you in the past that you will never be. Don't listen to the people around you to say that it's always going to be that way. Well, anger was always in your family. You're always going to have an anger streak. No. Well, drinking was in your family. You're always going to be a drinker. No. Whatever it is, you can decide to say, this is where the change begins in my family tree. In the roots of my family, that old root is cutting off, and I'm going to take this root. Sometimes if we look in the mirror and say, wow, I hope my kids turn out exactly like me. You better make sure you're a pretty perfect person. I'm glad my kids haven't turned out like me. But I hope through my rearing them and being their father that I've taught them, and that they can take that and build upon that. If I wanted them to see love in a family, I had to show love to my wife. If I show love to my wife, I'm expecting them to show love to their wife. If my daughters saw me loving their mom, I'm hoping they're expecting their husbands better show love to them. Because that's what it's about. Or I could have grown up and said, you know what? Even though my mom and dad loved each other, but they didn't really show it in front of us, even a hug. If you want your kids to grow up like that, they'll expect that's the way life is. That's the way the spouse is. You find that in abusive situations. If a family is very abusive and that person is abusive and they abuse a son or a daughter, they grow up and guess what they do? And it seems like those individuals gravitate to the same individuals. How sad it is. As a woman is growing up and a little girl grows up in that type thing, when she gets out and she gets looking for a guy, sad to say, she will find a guy that's an abusive guy because that's all she knows. And she thinks that's what life's about. That's the perfect house. My mom got hit all the time. I guess that's what's supposed to be. See, the God of this world has distorted relationships, distorted families, distorted what love is. What got me in that direction? But I guess it's like if you want a new year, you got to be a new you. And it's only going to be new if you do something about it. I can't do it for you. Those around you can't do it for you. God can't do it for you. Because God's going to let you live in your own free will. May not like what you're doing, but you're not doing anything to change it. I don't like where I'm at. Well, what are you doing about it? Mm-hmm. Well, he ain't going to change. Get a hold of God. Let God get a hold of you. Do some change on your part that you need to do. Don't let it be a crutch that holds you back and an excuse. We can have all kinds of excuses. I eat because I'm frustrated. I had a bad day at the job, so I'm going to eat more. Had a rough job. It's a terrible day. I'm going to go home. I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink. To forget what? Tomorrow will be the same thing. All you do, it just numbs you to what's taking place in your life. And it's a crutch. But food is a crutch, and this is a crutch, and that's a crutch. Anything is a crutch that holds us up to do what we want to do and not what we want to change. We find in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is where we love it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Anybody got some old things you want to become old and pass away? Anything in 2022 you want to pass that away and not deal with it? I think the same thing here as it speaks in his word that, you know, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Is I believe we can look at that as well. And as we receive Christ, he's given us a new outlook on things. We become a new creation anyway. So things begin to change. The Amplified says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as the Savior, that person, or he is a new creature, being that he's new, reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's why if you go to a church that's not speaking of the Holy Spirit, if you go to a church that is not embracing the Holy Spirit as of today, that's why you can read this word and it just turns out to be words and it turns out to be a story and it's all cutesy and it's neat what it says. Must have been good back then. But what about now, God? It's not until the now of the Holy Spirit to ignite it in you today. Because why? Reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, that previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. See, spiritually, before we're born again, what are we? Spiritually, we are dead because of sin. The spirit man, when we are reborn, we are invigorated and rebirthed. That's the newness. It's not like we're new to being a baby again. But we are new to where we're at, and the old things of our life, that moral depravity, the spiritual deadness that we were walking in for however many years before we received Christ, that is old and passed away, and now I'm a new person. How many here is a new person? They've all passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings new life. If you don't get awakened spiritually, 2023 will be just like every previous year before that if you were dead in the Spirit. If you don't embrace the Holy Spirit into this new year and allow him to lead you, guide you, teach you, protect you, if you don't allow him to be your dunamis power, as the Word of God says, 2023 will be just like 2022. Even though I look back in 2022 and I think overall it was a good year, pretty well pleased with it. But you know what? I want a better year. I want 2023 to even be better than what 2022 was. And it's not that I just want more and more and more, but I know that my God is a God of more. And that my God has a tremendous more for me. God has a tremendous more for you. Do you believe that? Say amen so I can take a drink of water. Say it long and slow. That really tasted good. Say it again. But even if you had a good year, expect a better year for 2023. for his mercies are new every morning. See, we experience a newness every day anyway. Remember how I got bummed out because we didn't have Christmas service and nobody was in the weather? Well, then all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, that's okay because we experience the birth of Christ every day, every Sunday, every day of the week. The Christ, he's been born. We celebrate the resurrection every day throughout our walk as a Christian, as a follower in this new covenant that we're in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I don't have to wait for 2023, 2024, 2025 to have a newness in my walk. I look at it every day with God that his mercies are new every day. Every morning as I wake up, that's a new morning. There's another opportunity to change. There's another opportunity to fulfill what God has for you. Even if you were, you didn't fulfill it for the last 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days. Today is a new day. Let's do it today. Give me the strength, Lord, to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Christians are brand new people on the inside. See, when we received Christ and we're a new creation, did everybody go home right away after you got up from the altar and looked and you still look the same? I don't see the vitality of youth in me, you know? No, it's an inside change. But those around you will be able to tell there's been a change in you, right? Kind of your mannerisms, what you say or don't say, how you react to things, how you used to be is not now, it's changed. Has anybody said, what has gotten into you? You've changed. Especially somebody that's not seen you for 6 months, a year or two, or whatever. They may look, there's something different about you. Well, let's see, what's happened? I received Jesus. I've turned my life over to him, and he's taking care of me, and I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away, all these things that come about. But they should see newness because we've changed on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. We are not the same as we once were. We're changed. We're not, and this is things that the world will say. We like to do what? We like to rehabilitate people. We want to reform people. We want to re-educate people. That's the world's ways of changing people. That's not what happened when you received Christ. So when we were changed by that of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, we were not rehabilitated, reformed, or re-educated. God's word used, we were recreated. New creation. Living in union with Jesus. Amen. We've been Colossians here too. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 will speak towards that. So at the time of our conversion, we're not merely turning over a new leaf. We are beginning a new life. And a life now serving God. Amen. It's one thing to turn over a new leaf. But how about if you can turn over a new life? Ezekiel. Oh man, I'm not even getting there where I wanted to read. What time is the game play today? 7? And Ezekiel says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. I will put a new spirit in you. Amen. And I'll take that stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. The phrase, give them a new heart, or give them one heart, this happens as spiritual and moral transformation takes place in us that will enable us to follow God with our whole heart. So if we're walking into this new 2023, maybe our heart is not right, let him give you a new heart. If your heart's kind of hardened because of your life, the things that you've been brought up, brought out of, raised in, whatever, and it hardened you, let God do a softening in you. Amen. Let God do a change within you. He can do it. He can do it. No one else can, but he can. Amen. He can give you that soft and pliable flesh, a heart. I was going to read, this will end it here, Lamentations. In Lamentations, we find that it's a prophet's anguish and a hope. So if you begin, and that's what I was wanting to do, is kind of take a time and just begin reading Lamentations, because in the beginning, they believe it's like Jeremiah is writing this, and he starts out with a lot of things happening. You know, the prophet's anguish, and then it turns into the hope. And so we're not going to read this whole thing, but if you would take Lamentations 3 and read at the very beginning, probably 1 through like 21, that's all the anguish, things that Jeremiah is saying, this and this and this, and seeing the things that God. But then in 22, Lamentations 22 and 24, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Because of the Lord's mercies, if you're right with him and he's right with you, 2023 will not consume you, but you will do a good work for him, and he will do a good work in you. Do you believe it? Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Every morning we have a fresh start. Every morning when you get out of bed, your feet hit the floor, it's a new day. And if you've woken up and you're able to get up and go, you're blessed. And count that as a thank you, Lord, for the strength to get up. As I think many of us, as we get in an older ways and develop certain things, and I don't know about you, but I can be doing fine and then one day do something just a little different or something that I usually always do, and then later that day, all of a sudden, it's like, why is that knee bothering me now, you know? But now it's fine, but there's times throughout the day something will happen and it just hits something, and you know, other than that, I got mobility. But I think as you begin to look at things, you're aging and seeing things happening. But, you know, in our flesh and in the natural, we see things as we start feeling the pain and the discomfort. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful to have, you know, a couple of strong, strapping boys and a great son-in-laws, you know, that can help me do things. Because when they come over and do it, I just step back. I'll sit here and just watch you guys and talk. Wisdom. This old guy understands. I can still put up with enough, and I still got strength, but I also realize that it's short-lived. To keep these joints going until I go home with the same joints I came into this world with, praise God. You know, it's just realizing that, oh Lord, your mercies are new every day. And I'm blessed. I am blessed. But I look at these things in life, and they're blessings. My boys and my daughters are blessings. The things that they help us with, help me with, do for us, do with us, take care of us, you know, they're there for that. That's really why you have kids. You know? I'm glad that they're taking care of me, and I'm not having to take care of them. And we're always wanting to take care of things so I know who's going to take care of me when I get older. So they're having a fight, or else they're losing the lot. I think they're casting lots. It's who's going to take care of mom and dad when they get to that age. Like, oh boy, who's going to get them? They joke around a lot. But I want you to know that your morning hours, there's mercies, or his mercies are new every morning. You might have went to bed with a pain and a problem in a lot of situations, but realize and know that today's a new day. And you don't have to bring your tomorrow, yesterdays into your today's. And my message of today is, don't bring your last year into this year. If his mercies are new every day, every morning, his mercies are new for every year. And I'm so thankful that they're new every morning, because there's what? 365 whatever mornings that year. And so there's always a newness with God every day. In closing, Jeremiah here finds a ray of hope in the sin and sorrow surrounding him. We have sin and sorrow surrounding us. It was this, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin new each day. God willingly responds with help when we ask. God's steadfast love and mercy are greater than any sin. His steadfast love, his mercy and grace are greater than anything that you've done that would cause him sorrow and grief, because he loves you so much. And he promises us forgiveness. So the mercies that we read in verse 22, where it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, in the Hebrew it could be translated a covenant of love or steadfast love. Through the Lord's love, we are not consumed, because he loves us so much that he's right there with you. And he wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you come through your problem. Amen. He wants to see you come through that. So we find that it's a covenant love or a steadfast love. It is linked with the word compassion. Psalms 103:4 would speak of that. Truth and faithfulness in Exodus 34:6. Goodness in Psalms 23:6. And the closing of this is this. God remains with us through thick and thin. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, how your word, it does so much. I know your word will speak to each of us differently, and it's your same word. But it's because of where we're at and what we need to glean from it that you open it up to us in that vein. I thank you, Father, for your word is true, that your word is active, that your word is still for us of this day. I thank you, Father, that you are with us through that of the Holy Spirit. Continually praying, Lord, I pray for these people here today and those that are missing that are normally here. I pray, Lord, that your spirit rest with them and that they sense that. And that, Lord, we all are looking forward to a new and even a greater year in our individual times with you and our corporate time with you. I pray, Lord, I pray, Father, for a wonderful God-filled year for all of us. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for everything being new every day, Lord, as we come to you. Go with us now, I pray. Lead us and guide us. Keep us strong. Keep us healthy. Let us be that light so that we can shine in the darkness around us. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.